All right. Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Leslie W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, August the 16th, and we are reading from the Big Book, page 78. We are at the third paragraph down, which begins with, "Perhaps we have committed a criminal offense." Today's readers are Karen on the 12th step, Rhonda R. on the 12 traditions, and Karen, that's Karen W. for the 12 steps, Rhonda R. for the 12 traditions, Shelly E., Barbara W., and Sandy K. OA preamble. Oh, before I do that, let me give you the reference numbers. All right, the reference number for August the 15th, the Sunday special edition, that share ID is 17,562. That's 17562. And this morning's share ID is, wait for it, 17,565. That's 17565. All right, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. All right, I'm going to now ask Karen W. if she will read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Karen, star one.
Yes. Hi, yep. Good morning. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York, and here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and thank you all for all of your service. Have a great meeting, and I'll see you later.
Thanks, Karen. All right, now I'm going to ask Rhonda R. if she'll read the 12 traditions for us. Rhonda?
Good morning. Thank you, Leslie, so much for your service. I'm Rhonda R., a grateful, recovered compulsive eater in Georgia. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to be of service. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Rhonda. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive of readers only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers, 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on the topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we will resume our study of the Big Book on page 78, third paragraph down. Perhaps we have committed a criminal offense. And that goes through, that's a common form of trouble too. And I will now ask Shelley E. to begin reading for us.
Good morning, Leslie. Thanks for your service.
Good morning.
Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater, presently in Petoskey, Michigan. Page 78. Perhaps we have committed a criminal offense, which might land us in jail if it were known to the authorities. We may be short in our accounts and unable to make good. We've already admitted this in confidence to another person, but we're sure we would be imprisoned or lose our job if it were known. Maybe it's only a petty offense, such as padding the expense account. Most of us have done that sort of thing. Maybe we're divorced and have remarried, but haven't kept up the alimony to number one. She's indignant about it and has a warrant out for arrest. That's a common form of trouble, too. Again, Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. And it's quite a privilege to be able to read this paragraph today. I had some small, and I guess they are criminal offenses. I didn't pay a couple of bills, large bills. One had to do with one of my children's education, and the other was a doctor bill when I had my knee replaced. And I paid it, but I paid it slowly, and I didn't pay it all. You know, I thought, well, I paid enough, apparently. And so when I went through this process, I did have to, and was happy to, make reparations to them both. And so monetarily, that was all that I could really remember, all that I did remember, and all that I was aware of that I had done. But I do know that indirectly, I stole from my children. I stole time from my husband. I stole time from my children. Time away in the food. I lied, you know. I stole the ideal mother that I could have been for my children. And I was in a fog, a food fog, for so many years. and I was that mom standing with the stroller while the kids rode were riding the rides. I have a lot that I had to make reparations for, and while it wasn't necessarily monetary, it was theft. It was definitely theft from my family. Theft as a daughter, I could have and should have been more present for my parents. And I'm, making amends slowly and living amends for all of that. But, it's nothing. It was nothing short of stealing. And I look forward to hearing from everyone else. Thank you for the opportunity to read. And I pass. Have a good day.
Thanks so much, Shelley E. All right. So we are now going to open up the floor for sharing on page 78, third paragraph down. Although we value your experience, we ask you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience. Who would like to share this morning?
Carol G.
Carol, gotcha. Anybody else? Nobody else? Nobody
Deborah
else?
G.
Nobody's committed a criminal offense this morning? Oh, Deborah, gotcha. Thank you.
Liz T.
Hey, Liz, gotcha.
Hi.
Donna W.
Donna.
Kathy B.
Kathy B. All right. That's a good little lineup there. Let me tell you who I got. I got Carol G, Deborah, I missed the initial of your last name, Liz T, Donna W, and Kathy B. All right, Carol, why don't you go first, followed by Deborah.
Okay, thank you. I'm Carol G in Chicago, recovered compulsive overeater. I have to apologize because I thought when you said third paragraph, it started with most alcoholics owe money. However, we're still talking about money. And I popped up to talk right away because I was astounded. I just can't believe how higher power works in our lives. I'm on the 10-step train, and I was just talking to my girlfriend earlier, who's in program, about isn't it amazing when we're on that train, we always get matched up with somebody who's got an answer for us or who's got the same situation or we have it for them. And sure enough, today, my partner, who's a new partner, was talking about her husband and financial issues, which I could identify with him, not her. So she was more like my husband, and I'm more like her husband. And I said, you know what? There's a program for that. And she wasn't even aware of it. And then I was able to tell her about how higher power helped me through OA to see my character defect of fear and how that was stopping me from my purpose in life and how I was so afraid to fully be who I really am. And when I started getting in touch with that, then I saw, wait a minute, there's a program specifically for this issue where I can talk to other people who have the same issue and hear them. And it's just so beautiful how he matches us up. I love being a pawn for God. Please use me. Please move me. Tell me where you want me to go, who I need to speak to, what situation I need to be in, even if I don't even know where I'm going, or sometimes it doesn't even feel that great. So all I could say is life is good. God is good. He runs everything. And when we turn it over, it really is a true spiritual awakening. And it does rocket us to a fourth dimension. And it's not a fairy tale. And you don't live in it every single day because it would be hard to have your feet on the ground. But it does happen, and it happens quite a bit. So if there's anybody out there, just keep trudging and keep going for that relationship, because it is the best relationship you could ever have. So I pass. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.
Thanks, Carol T. All right, next up I have Deborah. And is it Deborah G?
Deborah G, uh-huh.
Okay, great. Followed by Liz T. Go ahead, Deborah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for being of service this morning and everyone that has been of service to make this meeting possible. And I'm Deborah G from Arizona. And wow, you know, the first time I experienced freedom was when I got honest with myself in my step work, and looked at going back way, way, way when I was younger even, and stealing from stores. You know, even though I didn't get caught, I was still stealing. And looking at that, and that was something that I had to look at doing my ninth step with, you know, making those amends, getting that emotional freedom, that financial freedom from doing those. And looking at any other time that I've, you know, taken money from a store or anything, I remember when my husband was in prison and he decided to file bankruptcy, had an attorney in prison that was working on it. And this was years and years ago. He said, go out and max out all the cards. And that's what I did. You know, I was in the throes of my disease and my thinking was so distorted of reality. I couldn't see that that was, you know, an illegal act. And I did it. I went and did it. And then later on in my recovery, when I did my step work, I needed to pay back. In fact, even going to some of the stores and paying back the money that I had done that with. You know, there's just a free feeling inside when you can get right with those things. Now, also, just came to me just a minute ago, was how many times I've run a red light and got away with it. You know, still there are things that I need to bring into my awareness, you know, and being more aware of my behavior. You know, how are my feet moving? You know, so it's an ongoing journey for me, process, and the freedom. I want the freedom because I don't want to go back to looking for ease and comfort in the food. So it's about being willing to do whatever I need to do. So I don't want to do that. And thank you so much. That's all I have. Thanks.
Thanks, Deborah. All right, next up, I have Liz T. followed by Donna W.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks, Leslie, for doing service. My name and everyone doing service. My name is Liz T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota. And, you know, perhaps we have committed a criminal offense. I'd like to lead share about how we've robbed our families of our time and our attention and, you know, being so self-absorbed in myself and my food and when the next meal was going to be. And I also can reflect on just my mood swings. And, you know, I had a kind of a temperament of like, I love you, now go away. You know, I didn't treat my children very well when I was in the throes of the disease. And I can also fall into that even in recovery if I start to let up on the spiritual practices and start to become like a dry drunk again. Emotional sobriety is, you know, the big frontier for me. So that really struck a chord with me. I appreciate that being illuminated to me today. And then also I was thinking about this, we need to pay back our bills. You know, we need to, this is a spiritual and a moral program, really, when they go hand in hand. So any form of dishonesty, if I owe money and don't pay it back, that's dishonest. And so, we were reminded on page 73 that, he hopes that, as fast as he can, he pushes these memories far inside himself. So if I try to pretend I don't have debt, as it says in 73, is under constant fear and tension that makes for more drinking. So if I'm afraid of my creditors or afraid of the bills coming in, I'm going to be under tension, and I don't like tension. I prefer ease and comfort. So what am I going to do as a last resort? Pretty soon the food's going to look like a step up, and I'm going to be back in the food and back in the throes of my disease and back into the vicious cycle, the irritable, restless discontent. And I just know that I don't want to go there. I'm either striving to go closer to God, or I'm either going the other direction, closer to the food. And today I want to fill my God-shaped hole with God, with the source, and not with the false idols. And when I came into program, I was also in a ton of debt. I had to actually go into another 12-step fellowship for debtors to even come out from under the mounting debt that I was in. And that was suffocating me almost worse than the food was at that time. And so I worked dual programs for quite a while there. And that wasn't easy. But today I live a life where we are able to live comfortably, and God just continues to bless us financially, morally, spiritually, in so many ways. And that was just from me working these 12 steps through the big book with the recovered sponsor, being entirely abstinent, and then also working the tools of the other debting programs. So I'm just really grateful there's an answer, there's a solution, and we don't have to die in this disease or die in our compulsion. With that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz. Up next, I have Donna W., followed by Kathy B., and then we'll take some more names.
Hi, good morning. This is Donna W., calling in from Palo Alto, California. Grateful for my abstinence and my recovery today, and thank you for doing service. And in our call Friday, I was like, oh yeah, I've had some good experience with this. A few years ago, I've been in program for years, done many ninth steps, and then I heard somebody sharing about doing some amends around the food they stole from grocery stores. I'm like, oh yeah, I've done that. So I pocketed my pride, and I went to some of the places I stole out of the bins. You know, you can't do that so much now with COVID, but that was the my thing, you know. Even in program, I was still, it was like such a habit. Oh, just have it. It was just a taste, you know. And so I went to one place, and I weighed out like about as much as like I had stolen from them over several years. And I went up and said, how much is this worth? And they told me, and I said, well, I'd like to, you know, pay back for this. I don't want to buy it. And they were just like, what? And so they wouldn't take the money, but I made a donation. And then I went to another place and did the same. Most places were just really, like, confused and surprised. One place was like, you don't have to do that. We, you know, figure that people are stealing from it. We count that into the cost. I'm like, no, I need to do this for my recovery. And anyway, all of them had me donate, and it was very humbling. And guess what? I have absolutely no craving to even stick my food in my hands in those bins anymore, because I don't want to have to go back and make an amends again. So, you know, I think also now I've made amends enough that, like, I can think that, it gives me that second pause of like, I don't need to do this. Like, this is stealing. I stole a lot when I was a kid. So I did do lots of those amends over the years from all the stealing I did. And just, you know, little things, because I just wanted what I wanted. I wanted that instant gratification. But now it's like, you know, just because I want it, I've learned, you know, just because I want something doesn't mean that that's what I need, you know. Doing all the amends over the years has really helped me to, like, give thought before I take some action, because I'm like, you know, do I want to do an amends over this? Whether it's saying something to somebody, whether it's omitting something, I do believe I am living a more honest life as a result of working my program. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna. Next up, Kathy B.
Hi, this is Kathy B., compulsive overeater. When I was in high school, I used to work in this bakery, and my friend who got me the job there, she says, you can steal money from the cash register. He never knows. Like, so stupid me, I did it. I used to take, I don't remember how much, but I used to take a few extra bucks. And I worked one day a week, so I got paid that day. And when I look back, he was paying me and he was looking at me like, you know, he knew. I think he knew. He had to know because it would be at the end of the day before the bakery closed. And he would just leave like so much money in the cash register after taking all the money out from the day. And I would take some of it. And I feel bad about that. I mean, I'm 66 now. That was like when I was in high school. So I don't even think that he is alive. I know the bakery is not even there anymore. But I really need to do an inventory on that. I got into a lot of debt over the past years, and I was in like $47,000 in debt. And I just recently paid it off. I went to one of these programs where they help you get out of debt, and I made a $600 payment for 4 years, and I just paid it off. But I still have like a $3,000 debt that I want to pay off. So because like years ago, I lost my house and I had a bankruptcy and then I had a foreclosure and everything like that. And I didn't want to go into bankruptcy again. So that's something good that I did. But anyway, I had 60 days and I relapsed last night. So I'm starting over today. So thank you for letting me share. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathy B. All right, we're going to take a new list of names. We're on page 78, and we are starting with the third paragraph down that begins with, we have committed a criminal offense. Who would like to share this morning?
Hi, this is Joe.
Deanne F.
Joe. Deanne.
Jody H.
Jody H.
Audrey M.P.
Audrey M.P. Okay. We will go with that lineup, starting with Joe G., Deanne F., Jody H., and Audrey M.P. All right. Go ahead, Joe.
What paragraph? Is it? I'm
page
sorry.
78. Page yeah. 78, third paragraph down. Perhaps we have
Thank
committed
you.
A criminal offense. Yes. Go ahead, Joe.
Thanks. Appreciate the opportunity to share. I tend to like not identify with this because I've not like overtly stolen money or you know out of the till, so to speak, that kind of thing. However. That's a form of denial because I also am ethically challenged in sort of skirting the rules. And I come from a culture in which we're sort of see ourselves as the underclass or, you know, the overclass, if you will, has got all the money and the power. And that so if we kind of scam around the edges, that's just what we do because that's our lot in life. I won't go into the cultural history of all that, but it's certainly a very real thing, and it was definitely what I was raised with. What that means is, for example, years ago, I was paying my rent to my landlord. My landlord was just a ordinary family that owned one apartment building. They weren't like wealthy hand over fist, and not that that would have made really a difference ethically, but anyway, I turned in my rent check as usual and they never cashed it. And my girlfriend at the time was like, well, you know, why don't you tell them that they didn't cash your check. And I'm like, hey, that's on them. You know, I sent the check in. That was my responsibility. And I just felt it was like a bonus for me if they never cashed it. Now, if I had seen them more as human beings or as people I was in a relationship with or, you know, a family that had to make ends meet economically, I might have pointed out the fact that they never cashed my rent check. But for that one, that was so many years ago, I didn't even know who they were by the time I got into the program. But you know, it occurs to me even today, I could make a donation to make up for that. And I never have done anything about that. And the way this is relevant to my food program is I tend to cheat along the edges of that as well. You know, I tend not to binge hugely. I just kind of make rationalizations and sort of, and like, oh, I can get away with this, I can get away with that, you know. And ultimately, I think with all of these things, what I'm doing, whether it's financial or food, it's I'm trying to game the system. I'm trying to get a fix. I'm coming out of a place of desperation and fear, and I think I need to fix these feelings that I have. And if I can scam by, I mean, another example would be like sneaking into events. That was just completely part of my culture growing up. Never dreaming that there was anything wrong with ripping off the ticket price for any event that you could sneak into. Same goes when I sneak little bits of trigger foods and say, oh, it's okay, it's not that bad. Thanks a lot for the opportunity to share. I appreciate it very much this morning.
Thank you, Joe G. And then up next I have Deanne F. followed by Jody H.
Hey, good morning, all of my beautiful, beautiful compulsive overeaters walking this path. Well, you know, here we are again in the absolutely blessed synchronicity of hearing exactly what is relevant in, you know, my life today. I have, you know, two things that are concurrently happening, one of which is I believe that it's possible that, you know, that a family member has been doing some things that I didn't know about financially. And so, you know, it causes me, like where we are in the book, it causes me to think to myself, well, you know, you have to, you know, be willing to, you know, say, you know, what you believe, but you have to be able to do it without judgment. So that's what God gives me today, because I have plenty of financial, you know, mistakes and stealing in my past. And actually, there was one big one was for a department store that I worked for that I still, even though I'd done all these inventories, I never had actually resolved it because I wasn't exactly sure how to do it. And so I just want to say that for every debt, for every one of these, you know, that we are willing to make these financial amends, a way will present itself. And what happened with that was that, like, I searched around and searched around and searched around because they really didn't have a way of giving back, except for they were affiliated with a charity. And so I was able to give a donation to this charity, and it came right from their website. And it was Big Brothers and Big Sisters. And so I was able to give like a donation that was real and honest about the amount of money that what I took was worth. And it was the most freeing thing. And so today when I have to deal with a situation where someone else might be doing the same, I can have compassion, but also be honest. And that's a gift of this program and of emotional sobriety that comes from abstinence and working this program. So love to you all. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Deanne. All right, up next, Jody H., followed by Audrey M.P.
Yes. This is Jody H., a compulsive overeater from the state of Maine. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay, thanks. This topic is a touchy one for me. I'm really in the midst of this process. I've been just in the program for a year, so I'm new at a lot of the making amends and doing things like that. So anyway, two of my amends have to do with food where I could have been legally involved. One was I dined and dashed once because I wanted to have a nice dinner to myself and I was hungry. And so I went in and had my dinner and just left. And I felt immediately awful, but I had no money for it. So I said, well, the next time I have money for it, I'll do something about that. And I said that over the years. I kept saying it. I'll take care of it. I just haven't got the time right now. And I never did. So, and then another one was where, and of course that restaurant's no longer in business. And then there was another time that I was with my next door neighbor, and this was when I was only about 10 years old. We were playing in his house, and I went to their refrigerator, took out some cheese and ate it, and they accused me of taking some cheese. And I said, oh, no, I didn't. My dishonesty was wrapped right up with all that theft and stealing. And right now, so I've made amends. I've got my amends for my neighbor all set and haven't yet had a chance to see them, but I've got it written out. And when I get a chance, I bet you they'll laugh over it because it's been 50 years since then. So anyway, and my last amends, my last time of doing what I believe is a stealing and an illegal thing is, and I'm being honest because this is how I stay accountable to my fellow visionaries. I charged up a charge card and then just didn't pay it and moved many times, not to avoid the payment of it, but I just happened to move many times and they lost track of me. And it's something I'm going to pay, and I say that as an accountability statement. I am going to pay it or find out if I can give to a charity in their name. And I'm just looking forward to being so free, so much freer every day. And it helps me with my food plan. It helps me with my daily living as a compulsive overeater. And I really appreciate you listening to me, and I'm going to listen to others, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Jody H. Next up is Audrey MP, and then we'll take a new lineup.
Hey, good morning, Team Monday. Thank you, everybody, running the meeting and for those already shared. Oh, I'm listening to the meeting and my head's just spinning. I'm Audrey MP from Southern California, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm recovered bulimic, and oh my God, I'm spinning because this, you know, every time we read the book, I hear something different. This paragraph just sends me to, you know, what it was like. And there's not enough time to tell you what it was like. I am a petty thief. I am. And when I was young, a freshman in high school, you know, I stole something from a pick and save, and I ended up in a little juvie cell till my mom could come pick me up. And later, earlier in grade school, and it's funny because I had a 45th reunion of grade school. And we went to a mission, Catholic schoolgirls in our uniform, we went to a mission and we absolutely raided the gift shop. And at the reunion, someone said, oh, I stole a rosary because I wanted Audrey MP to like me. What did she do? And I, you know, and we all talked about that day. And some of us admitted to, and you know, some of us admitted to taking things, but then she told me the lesson her mom taught her. Anyway, it didn't end. I never ended up in jail, but I have a lot going on, and I'm cleaning house, literally in my house, and I have records of debt that was never paid back, and I suffered 10 years with a low FICO score. And I thought that was my restitution. I was just talking to someone about it the other day, and I don't know where it is in the big book, but they said, you know, when Bill, in Bill's story, when he's running around in the cart and pulling geographics and stealing money, that he paid back everything. Maybe it's in the history. Maybe this is a call to Harlan or something. I don't know. But when I sit here in the day and I think about my food and I think about the decisions I have to make today, and then I read a paragraph, one little paragraph like this, it's just like, Audrey, you are so not done. And maybe this has something to do with, you know, the 8 pounds that keeps showing up and going away and showing up and going away. And I'm so grateful to be part of this group. I'm so grateful to be an Overeaters Anonymous. I'm so grateful for it that I found a sponsor, someone that can hear my truth. And, you know, when I sit at a table with other people with food that's not my food, you know, yesterday I went to dinner with a friend. I did not touch. Have some. Take a bite. Have a sip. Don't you want this? No, 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 no. It's like God everywhere. I'm so grateful. Thank you for letting me share, and happy Monday. Have a good week, everybody.
All right. Thank you so much, Audrey and Pete. And we're going to take a new list of names. We got time for at least two more shares.
Darcy G.
Darcy, gotcha. All right, Patty. All right. Go
Darcy
ahead.
G.
Yep, I got you, Dorothy. You go ahead, and
okay.
Then followed by Patty.
Okay. Thanks so much for everybody's service on the line today. Yeah, that paragraph, and then even in the last couple of days, the other paragraphs, I was reminded that when I was a little girl, I would steal money out of my father's vest pocket. My father was a minister. And I knew that on Sunday he would have, there's a offering that is taken. And so he would have change in his pocket, in his vest pocket. And I would go there and steal that money so I could buy candy. And I would take some of the neighborhood kids who were a little bit younger than I was on a bus ride. And we would eat candy and ride the bus. And I had admitted that, but somehow it never occurred to me that I also needed to make amends for that stealing. And so I talked to my sponsor about it, and, you know, she suggested that I pray about it, and also that you know, there are several ways I can make amends, I will definitely do that. And it was just amazing to me that it happened so many years ago. I still remembered it. I confessed it, but I never really made amends. So I am happy to have that opportunity. Because as someone else said, you know, the pounds that I gained during the pandemic, you know, I'm still, they go weight, so that's, and I'm abstinent, but those during the pandemic, you know, there were some pounds that I added, and you know, I'm just like I need to make amends. For that theft, you know, I need to also let God know and understand that, you know, I'm going to do things differently. So thanks so much for letting me share.
Okay, thanks, Patty, and thanks, Dorothy. Up next, we have Patty L, I think, and Patty, you'll be our last share for today. Go ahead, Patty.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for this meeting. I'm just so blown away by this meeting and just the whole, I didn't realize just how broad the subject of honesty. And I was I've been a thief right from the start, you know, right out of the gate, you know, stealing money from my mother's pocketbook or stealing cigarettes, you know, stealing money from my dad. And then it kind of progressed on from there. It was just the idea of taking something that wasn't mine, feeling entitled to do so and getting a hit off of it. Like it was fun. Something about it seemed so exciting to get away with something. And when I listen to everybody share, it just amazes me how we can steal things like time or all these other things that we can take from people, you know, being an addict and, you know, the selfishness and the self-centeredness, you know. And I was just thinking of a couple situations that came up recently where I was shopping at Shaw's. I was grocery shopping and I always go to the self-checkout, you know, because I'm so impatient, which is another issue. But anyway, so I go there and I realized when I got to my car that I had forgotten to check a couple things out. One was like Dawn dishwashing liquid and another thing was this little scrubby, this cleaner scrubby. And this was like 2 weeks ago. And I keep saying to myself, oh, you've got to go make that amend. You've got to go pay for those items. But for some reason, I just will not do it. I want to do it. I have the money to do it, but I'm not doing it. And that's kind of how it always was. It was just like, I didn't want to be doing these things, but I was doing them anyway. And so I am committed today to go back to Shaw's and make that amend. But, you know, at first I thought, you know, I didn't really have a lot of financial amends. But when I really think about it, oh, my goodness, like listening to people share, it's just crazy how much work I need to do in this particular area, taking things that weren't mine, you know, and like I said, feeling justified in doing so. And that I was talking to a fellow, Goddess is so good, and we were talking about the subject, and she said, you know, I have the same problem where I just like feel I can go into a store and just feel compelled, you know, to take something. And I remember feeling those exact same feelings, you know, going into Marshall's or going into TJ Maxx or, you know, just having that overwhelming feeling like I want to take this, you know. I mean, I have worked on it over the years. You know, obviously I don't do that, but I steal from grocery stores because up and down the aisles, opening bags, eating them along the way, and then shoving the bags back on the shelves, you know, and I can't tell you how many times I've done that. But anyway, I just want to say thank you to everybody who shared on this line and just so grateful for this meeting and for this program and for the hope that I have, you know, that we can all recover from this deadly disease. Thank you. Pass.
Thanks, Patty. All right. Thank you for all who have shared. And we are now going to end the sharing by asking Barbara W. to please read on page 164. Barbara, are you available? Press star one.
Yes, I am. Okay. Right, 164. You hear me?
Yes, Barbara, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I don't know why I'm not there. Okay, here we go. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own home is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely, surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. thank you for letting me discern.